Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our President Pro Tem, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to serve this great state in our capacity as state senators. We ask, Lord, that you bestow upon us the wisdom that you promise us in the book of James, saying that if we lack wisdom to come and ask you, and so we do that this day, Lord. We ask that you bestow upon us your wisdom as we proceed with this session in 2011. Lord, we understand that there are a lot of issues that face our great state today, and so, Lord, we ask that you help us, guide and direct us as we tackle those issues. And, Lord, we thank you in advance for answering this prayer, and to you goes all the glory. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir.
Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown,
here.
Callahan,
here.
Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 8th. Senator from Lawrence. Senator from Jefferson. Senator from Clay. A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, seventh day, Tuesday, January 18th, 2011. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. President Kinder in the chair.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You have heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction. Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, photographers from KRCG-TV have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Introduction of guests. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two very special guests. The first one is Darren Doherty. He is the student ambassador at the University of Central Missouri. I believe their mascot is the Fighting Mules, and he just went through appropriations this morning, and he's accompanied by his, not sister, but by his grandmother, Eileen Miles from Belton. And like for the body to make, Darren Doherty and Eileen Miles, welcome.
We're delighted to welcome the guests of the Senator from Johnson to the Missouri Senate this morning. The Senator from Christian.
Special guest, our physician of the day, a good friend of mine as well as my constituent, someone who has been very diligent about coming up here and being our physician of the day for several years and has worked on several of us, helped us quite a bit during some illnesses up here. Dr. John Lilly is the Missouri State Medical Association's physician of the day. Dr. Lilly is a family physician with St. John's Clinic and practices in Springfield, Missouri. He is the Missouri State Medical Association's vice counselor from the Southwest Missouri District. In 2009, he became an elected official. He is a school board member at Willard. He is also the president of the Young Conservatives of America, and I'd like us to welcome Dr. John Lilly as our physician of the day.
We're delighted to welcome Dr. Lilly as our doctor of the day. Introductions. Senator from Jasper.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce a former representative that served with many of us in the House, now Commissioner of Audrain County, Steve Hobbs, in the upper gallery, and I'd like for you all to make him welcome.
Will the guest of the senator from Newton please rise for recognition by the Senate? Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. Senator from Boone, send it forward.
It does not.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 135, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to environmental protection.
Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 136, introduced by Senator Schaaf, an act relating to physician privileges.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill would increase competition in our health care system by prohibiting hospitals from denying hospital privileges to physicians just because they have some interest in a competing entity. Thank you.
Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I would like to introduce the bill, please.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 137, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to health care professional identification badges.
Senator?
Needs no discussion.
Senator from the 4th. Send it forward.
Explanation.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 138, introduced by Senator Kevany, an act relating to private possession of non-human primates.
President, I have a plethora of legislation. One, two, three, four, five, six, and this is just tax credits.
Senate Bill 139, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to subjecting tax credit programs to appropriations.
Self-explanatory, Mr. President.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 140, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the Missouri Property Tax Credit.
Thank you, Mr. President. It has been revealed to me and during the Tax Credit Commission that Missouri spends approximately $58 million a year giving property tax relief to individuals that don't pay property tax. That's silly to me. This would cease the circuit breaker property tax credit from going to people that rent apartments and thereby do not pay property tax.
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 141, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the receipt of tax credits by campaign contributors.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just an experiment. I wonder how hard we would work to pass tax credits if those that benefit from them couldn't make campaign contributions to our campaigns. Just an experiment.
Read the fourth bill.
Senate Bill 142, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to conflicts of interest in certain boards and commissions.
Senator?
Self-explanatory, Mr. President.
Read Bill number 5.
Senate Bill 143, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to the Missouri Downtown and Rural Economic Stimulus Act.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have heard, and I think it's being discussed, that possibly the St. Louis Cardinals would like to seek Modessa funding for the new ballpark village. This would place a moratorium and prevent any new Modessa projects from being approved as we are broke.
Read the sixth bill.
Senate Bill 144, introduced by Senator Crowell, an act relating to a moratorium on the authorization of certain tax credits.
Thank you, Mr. President. This would place a moratorium on the low-income housing tax credits for 5 years. Thank you, Mr. President. That is Tax Credit Reform Day.
The senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill 145, introduced by Senator Dempsey, an act relating to county inventory.
Senator?
Not near as exciting as the senator from CAFE's legislation. No explanation necessary.
Senator from Kirkwood, Webster, 15th. Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 146, introduced by Senator Schmidt, an act relating to a business income deduction for income tax purposes.
What this bill would do, we talk a lot about broad-based tax reform. What this would do would lower the effective tax rate for every business in the state, from the largest to the smallest, from existing to new, by decreasing their tax liability to the state by half, and not just C-corps with a corporate income tax rate, but also those flow-through entities like LLCs and closely held companies where they're taxed on their income and their own individual tax returns. This would give us the broad-based tax relief to make Missouri more competitive and foster job creation.
Further introduction of bills. Senator from 23rd. Oh, Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you. We have with us today Terry Reese with Three Rivers Advanced Practice Network, Missouri Nurses Association, and advanced practice nurses from around the state, from Hannibal, St. Louis, St. Joseph, Springfield, and Columbia, and I'd ask this body to welcome them.
Will all our nurses' guests please rise for recognition and a welcome by the Missouri Senate. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of resolutions.
Resolutions.
Mr. President, I move Senate Resolution 65 be taken up for adoption.
You have heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is now before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Resolution 65 be adopted. Mr. President, this is the resolution that is done annually. It's the 2011 Senate Employee Resolution. Just to give members a little bit more information about it, the total number of authorized positions in the resolution is 86.5, which is unchanged from the 2010 calendar year, but it is reduced by 3 FTEs. However, the total authorized positions was temporarily increased to make room for redistricting staff for the current year only. So the net is no new employees in the Senate. And the language in the last paragraph has been changed to allow for the adjustment of salary ranges to accommodate any state pay plan that might be adopted for 2012. I'd be happy to answer any questions otherwise.
Does any senator wish to be heard on the motion? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The senator renews his motion on adoption of the resolution. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. We will stay on that order of business, and I ask you to please recognize the senator from the 7th for a motion on Senate Resolution 27.
The senator from the 7th, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we take up Senate Resolution 27 for adoption.
You have heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Resolution 27 be adopted. Senate Resolution 27 is a very simple, straightforward piece of legislation. It only asks our Attorney General to join either, Mr. President, your lawsuit on behalf of citizens of Missouri with regard to their rights under health care, to form his own individual lawsuit, or to join the Florida lawsuit that is now moving forward quickly. That lawsuit simply questions the constitutionality of the individual and Medicaid mandate on states and the penalties under Obamacare. 25 states have already joined the Florida lawsuit. Many of you all will remember last session when a bipartisan supermajority here in both the House and the Senate voted to send to the people the right for them to vote on their own health care decisions and how they felt about the federal law. You'll also recall that Missouri was the first state in the entire nation to give its citizens this right to vote on it, and we received from our voters an overwhelming 71% majority that sent a megaphone message to Washington, D.C., that we want to make our own health care decisions. We do not want them coming from Washington, D.C. While other AGs in the nation have voluntarily joined this lawsuit as plaintiffs on behalf of their citizens and their states, even after the people of Missouri have spoken so clearly with over 71% of a vote, even after that, our AG has not stepped in to defend these citizens. So we're trying one last time to send an official request from the General Assembly to the Attorney General to get him to consider joining this lawsuit or, Mr. President, your lawsuit. The House has overwhelmingly passed this last week. Their vote was 115-46 in a bipartisan fashion. I will note that in the entire country, this is the only legislature that is having to jump through these official actions in order to get our Attorney General to consider our request. The voters have made it ultimately clear, Mr. President, as we know. And it is still up to him. I want to make this clear. This resolution, if it passes today, still gives our Attorney General the prerogative to enter the lawsuits, any of them or not. But we just want to reiterate, with everything we've got, we feel it's a responsible thing to do to speak for our citizens who have given voice to their feelings, and yet we are still not defended in a case that 25 other states have already joined. With that, Mr. President, I'd like to inquire, if I may, of the senator from the 1st.
Does the senator from the 1st yield?
I do.
He yields. You may inquire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, you and I have been on this trail for more than a year now. And you and I have spoken at many community groups, many large groups. We've been on Fox News. We've been interviewed all over the country, all over this state, and we have walked this walk. We have probably, between the two of us, talked to more people in the state of Missouri on their feelings with regard to this health care decision and the individual mandates and the penalties that accompany it. And so I just wanted to give you a chance to speak on what we're doing right now, trying to call on our Attorney General to defend our citizens. And you've been there, so I just want the body to hear what your thoughts are on this.
Thank you. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
This is a little uncomfortable, isn't it?
I'm learning a new direction. I haven't quite gotten it yet.
For 2 years, we sat right next to each other, and we were able to just turn and look at each other and address the different issues that were important to our constituents as
yes.
we were representing them here on the Senate floor. I thank you and appreciate you bringing forth this important issue and handling this resolution. I think that it's important to recognize, as you did in your opening statement, that that this body, the Missouri Senate, is not demanding of our Attorney General that he be part of these lawsuits that, quite frankly, other attorney generals around the country have gathered together in a common cause. We realize the independence of our Attorney General that the Constitution affords him. We can't demand of him to do anything. But on behalf of the people, as our colleagues on the other side of the building have put forth this resolution to encourage, in a respectful way, our Attorney General to really pick up the mantle on behalf of over 71% of Missouri citizens that voted on this issue to say that the law of the land in Missouri is that we know that the federal government has acted beyond its constitutional purview and that we don't want Obamacare in the state of Missouri. Now, as you mentioned, there are a number of states all over the country that feel the same way. I believe Congress may be acting today to repeal Obamacare.
And there were 43 states around the nation that were moving legislation forward just like we were. Some of the states already passed it like we did as a statute or a constitutional amendment, but 43 states in this nation were working on the same thing we were last year.
Exactly. And, you know, it's times like we have today where in the history of our country, when you see a reaction from what many consider to be, as far as the way our republic is set up, the idea that that we have a system that is a compound republic. Okay, we have you mentioned in your resolution in the U.S. Constitution, the federal government has to guarantee to each state a republican form of government.
Yes, that's part of the lawsuit.
Okay, so in these areas and issues that come before state legislatures, it's incumbent upon the states on behalf of the people to be that buffer between the federal agent, that dual sovereign, okay? The we are a sovereign state, and our responsibility on behalf of our citizens is to protect them from a federal government that would encroach upon the responsibilities of that other sovereign, of that compound republic. And that's exactly what we're doing here. We are the buffer between that agent of the federal government, where our Constitution is very clear in Article 1, Section 8, that says to that agent, these are the powers that the people are delegating to you. And you can't act beyond that. Now, the problem that we have today is that for decades, literally decades, the buffer, the sovereign states, the individuals elected to protect the people, have sat collectively on their hands and allowed the federal government to practice, time and time again, the usurping of the powers that were delegated from the people to the states. And I think you can only be pushed so far. And I think we saw the reaction of being pushed so far from the people last November. And I think they've woken up. The people are awake. All right?
They are awake. And I guess I saw from my constituents, and both of us have talked to people all over the state, I saw a reaction that I have never seen before in this country with regard to that encroachment. They're just not concerned about it. They're just not lackadaisical about it. They are actually scared, and they are angry. They have finally reached that boiling point, and that's what pushed us forward with what we did last year.
You know, Senator, I think that it's when we have these discussions, when we have these debates about, you know, what are the proper spheres, you know, of authority, that, again, have been given to both the federal and the state republics. I think it's always good to go back to our founding fathers. You know, that's one of my favorite things. I love to quote our founding fathers because, you know, and especially, you know, like Madison, you know, the guy that was responsible, you know, for drafting our Constitution. You know, James Madison says, you know, and he's addressing this issue that we're addressing today. He says in the Federalist number 45, he says, "The powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those that remain to the state governments are numerous and indefinite." Then he goes on to say, "The powers reserved to the several states will extend to all objects which, in the ordinary course of affairs, concerns the lives, liberties, and properties of the people, and the internal order of improvement and the prosperity of the state." So, I mean, he's addressing what you're trying to address in your resolution. He's saying that these very limited powers that we've delegated to the federal government are just that. They're limited. This is what you have the authority over. But everything else goes back to the people and the states, right? And then he goes on to say, well, these are all the normal state of affairs, you know, and that's what we're talking about. Actually, we're talking about, and he talks property. Aren't we talking about property rights with this? Because, and it is property, because what the federal government is saying to the people through Obamacare is that we're going to mandate what you do with your property. You're going to take these resources, your property that you've gone out and worked for, and you're going to buy this product.
Right, and as we pointed out last year, never in the history of this country have people been ordered to buy a product, any product for that matter, against their will with their own money. Never before. I think it has exceeded the Commerce Clause, and that is part of what is in the lawsuit. That the Commerce Clause that initially said we want to facilitate trading across state lines so we don't have tariffs and whatever has been used to say we have the right to force you into commerce when you don't want to. As one of our members told me last night, to put inactivity, in other words, not being a part of the marketplace, making inactivity into activity and then putting regulations on that redefined inactivity.
You know, Senator Jefferson again, Madison again in the Federalist 47, I think he addresses, you know, and puts forth that the accumulation, you know, of power by any authority, and this is how he says the accumulation of all powers, whether it be legislative, executive, and the judiciary, in the same hands, whether it be one, a few, or many, is the very definition of tyranny. That's what he says.
It's feeling like that, isn't it? I used the term last year, foreign. It feels foreign to me what has happened. And so that's why this big pushback from all the states and the attorneys general. And you know, my hope is that what we are doing here today, in addition to what they did in the House last week, will bring our Attorney General to the point where he will stand up and defend our citizens for the very principles that you've been articulating.
Well, and again, I mean, it's his responsibility. His responsibility is the chief defender and enforcer of our laws, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the law of the land in Missouri now. The Health Care Freedom Act, Proposition C, is the law of the land in Missouri.
It absolutely is, and I guess I feel like it's even a stronger law because of the process we went through to get there. But I want to go on and talk to some of our other senators, and I thank you very much, and I so appreciate your study of the Constitution and that information that you always bring to this body and bring us back to our roots. And I thank you so much, gentlemen. And I'm sorry, Senator, I corrected myself. And I also appreciate your partnership in this last year. It was a big job, but the people stood there and we gave them their voice, and I just thank you so much for
that.
Thank
you, Senator.
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from the 34th.
Senator from the 34th, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, there are many things that back up what we are trying to do today. And I think you've done some analysis. Obviously, you're the only medical doctor on this floor, people medical doctor. I know we have another one that's an animal medical doctor, but you're the people medical doctor. In fact, I just wonder, do we have any medical doctors in the whole General Assembly?
Yes, we do.
Other than you?
Yes, we do. We have Dr. Keith Frederick, who is an orthopedic surgeon from Rolla, serving in the House.
Okay.
And so he and I are it, and thank you for inquiring of me. This has been my very first chance to participate in debate in the Senate, and I'm glad that it's you.
Well, we need some medical doctors. I remember when we had a number of them, so we're grateful for your willingness to serve and the sacrifices you make to do that. I'm particularly interested in jobs. Jobs is the mantra for this session. It has been for last session. And with regard to some of the proposals in the federal law, I think you have some statistics on that as far as employment and jobs and those types of things that you wanted to share with us.
That's right, Senator. I went down to the Senate Research and asked them if they could give me some of the statistics on U3 and U6, and a lot of people aren't really familiar with U3 and U6. U3 is the unemployment rate that's commonly quoted in the newspaper, in the media. It's the standard unemployment rate. There are actually six unemployment rates. They're U1 through U6, and U6 is the more inclusive one. And it's produced by the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics, and you can get this information online. And U6 includes all those people who are underemployed, who are looking for a full-time work, and perhaps they're only part-time employed, or maybe they're just earning minimum wage while they look for another job. And it also includes the people who have gone through the entire unemployment program and came out the other end and are no longer considered looking for work. And the statistics are rather alarming. If you look at the unemployment rate U3, in 2007, it was 4.6%, and now it's up to 9.6%, and that's considered very high. People are, you know, very concerned, should it reach 10? But U6 in 2007 was 8.8%, and now it's all the way up to 16.7%. That was as of December of 2010, last month. The point of it is that the problem with unemployment is far more severe than one would understand just by looking at U3, the usual rate. There are a lot of people out of work, a lot of Missourians.
So U3 is the unemployed, U6 is the underemployed?
Right.
Is that right?
If you, you know, if you're only able to get a part-time job and you're working a little bit, you don't get counted in the U3 rate. And so 16.7% of our citizens in the United States are either unemployed or totally out of work. It's a bigger problem than people realize, and because of this, we need to make sure that we don't do things that worsen the problem, that put even more people out of work. Now, this is my concern about the national healthcare law. It will end up putting more people out of work instead of less, and I can explain that to you and go through several ways if you're interested.
I am, and on that point, I have a report from the Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan office, and they estimate that about 21 million Americans will be uninsured by 2016 when the health care reform laws are fully implemented, and of those, 4 million of them will be subject to penalties. because they didn't buy insurance. So you're talking about the extra cost to our businesses. We know a lot of these small businesses in our districts who are just right on the bubble, right on the line. Can they make it? Can they not make it? And if they get penalized, which obviously the Congressional Budget Office believes they will, they're even going to have to pay if they can't afford insurance. It's almost like what this is doing is forcing extra cost, which forces businesses to have to drop insurance, the opposite of the goal. So less insurance, more penalties. It goes on to say that the Congressional Budget Office said that collections from the penalties will be $4 billion a year. Guess who pays that? The individuals or the businesses that you're talking about. And what's really amazing is that people don't know about is of those 4 million people who will pay the fine, about 9% will have annual income below the poverty line, $11,800 for individuals and $24,000 for a family of four a year. They're going to be paying penalties.
I like to call those penalties the anti-stimulus program.
Oh, well, I think that's a good name for it.
It's the anti-stimulus. You know, what you're saying is exactly correct. I'm a small businessman and as a family physician, and businesses they can list all of their expenses on a spreadsheet. And the biggest non-input cost is labor, you know, the cost of all of their employees. And the second cost is health insurance for all those employees. So when the cost of health insurance goes up, that means it has to come from somewhere because businesses aren't like the federal government. They can't just write a blank check, you know, or write a check for it. They have to actually have the money. When those costs go up, that money comes from the amount that they're able to spend on labor. It's just almost a one-to-one correlation.
Absolutely.
And so what we need to do are things that lower the cost of health care and not do things that increase the cost of health care, because when we do, we're just stabbing our employers in the back, saying you have to spend more on your health insurance and you'll have less to spend on your employees. You won't be able to give raises, you won't be able to hire those extra people, and that's going to put Missourians out of work. And the national health care bill does that in several ways, and I've chosen six that I'd like to discuss with you if you have the time.
I probably need to move on, but I may very well come back to you on that because I know you're an expert. But while I am speaking to a medical doctor, I wanted to make one other point. The cost of this for Medicaid, according to our own DSS, is going to be $1.3 billion with a B over the next 10 years. We are subsidized by the federal government, and I use that term
yes,
carefully, because where does it come from? Your pocket and mine.
We are the federal government,
right,
ultimately.
And so for the first 3 years, but then it all lands on us, the expansion. $1.3 billion cannot be sustained by this state or any other state. Another thing with regard to the docs, though, that the federal government is reducing, and some of the carriers are reducing their fee schedules for their doctors. I have a letter here from Coventry Healthcare sent to one of our providers in my area, and it says that regrettably, due to economic conditions, they are going to have to reduce the fee schedule for their Medicaid patients. They got this letter back from the Gateway Pediatrics Limited, care of infants, children, and adolescents. That's a private provider in St. Louis. And they sent it back to Coventry. In response to your certified letter dated April 15, 2010, regarding reduction in physician fee schedule, be advised our Healthcare USA panels will be closed effective immediately. Regrettably, Gateway physicians will no longer be able to provide pediatric services to any additional newborns, infants, and adolescents.
And it's totally understandable why a medical practice would close its panel to Medicaid patients. Pediatricians lose money every time they see one. Now, there are some provisions in here that in 2013 they're going to pay primary care docs at the Medicare rate of 2009, but that's not where the big problem is. Although your example, is a primary care situation. But the big problem that I see is getting specialty services to Medicaid patients. And this is just going to make it so much worse. The thing is, they're wanting to put 35 million more Americans on Medicaid. Who's going to take care of those, Senator?
They're absolutely not. Medicus, a survey company, actually surveyed doctors and found out that one-third of them, because of the federal health care law, because of that, are thinking about retiring or retiring early or trying to find another profession. Unfortunately, of those who are primary care doctors and those who are internists, those that we need the most as our entry level, 46% of them are thinking about retiring as a result of the federal health care law. So we may be thinking we're going to lower cost. Guess what? That just gets rid of the access. Docs are going to quit. You're a doc.
Well, the problem is that you can't give 35 million more people free health care and just say, here's your card, go get health care, and not have them want to use it and try to maximize their benefit that they get because it's free. Anytime you offer anything free to someone, their utilization goes to infinity, as high as it can go. So when you increase the demand for healthcare across this country without increasing the supply,
costs
because
go up.
We're not increasing supply, what's going to happen to the cost? The cost is going to go up. And what's that going to translate into the cost of health insurance that our employers have to pay? It's going to go up.
Just and, like it did in Massachusetts.
Right.
The premiums
it's exactly what happened. And what's going to happen to our unemployment rate, the number of people who are struggling to take care of their families because they can't find a job? It's going to go up. I mean, this is such a bad idea that for us not to fight it tooth and nail, everything that we can throw at it, is just wrong. We have to pass your resolution.
I think so, too. And just ending on the last physician point, I believe this whole effort that we started last year and that we're continuing right now was defended by the St. Louis Metropolitan Medical Society, the Kansas City Metropolitan Medical Society, and the Missouri State Medical Association. All defended what we were doing because they understand that doctor-patient relationship and how important it is.
Yes.
And so I thank you. I thank you for being in the Senate, Senator, and bringing your medical expertise.
Well, thank you, Senator. You made my first experience involved in Senate debate a pleasure.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mr. President,
Senator?
I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 17th, if we can find her.
Senator from the 17th. Senator from Clay.
I yield.
Oh,
she does?
I was looking at her old seat.
Okay. She does yield. Proceed.
All right. Senator, you have obviously worked very hard on jobs in this state, and many of us are very grateful for that. I'm certain those who want jobs are very appreciative of your work. Could you talk a little bit about that with regard to what we're doing today and with regard to the federal law?
Sure. I can sum it up in four words.
Oh, that makes it easy. I can't believe that from a senator.
It will break us.
Okay,
how about that?
That's clear.
It will break us. Now, and the reason I'm sticking with four is because we got another four that's important here. If this continues down the road that it's going, we will have to put 400,000 more people on the welfare rolls in the state of Missouri. Now, how are we going to do that and fund education? How are we going to do that and fund higher education? How are we going to do that and take care of our preschool programs? How are we going to do that and take care of the developmentally disabled? I really don't know. I really don't know. Another four-word combo. You know, this is a disaster waiting to happen. And here's what I really don't get. We have a bill that is allegedly so great that the very Congress that enacted it had to exempt themselves. Makes you wonder.
Yeah,
then the next thing is the bill is supposed to be so great that the very staffers who wrote it in Washington, D.C. exempted themselves. Makes you wonder. Now we've got over 200 exemptions from many of the very groups who allegedly said that they supported it to begin with. Now they're getting exemptions. I'm not exactly sure how that works in the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. But once again, 200 groups, over 200 groups, are now exempt, according to the very Congress and the bureaucracy that thought this was such a great idea. Now we got 71% of Missourians saying, we don't want it, and we want to be exempt just like Congress. So what I guess I don't quite get is either our Attorney General thinks that we're not good enough to be treated the same as Congress, or our Attorney General doesn't agree with 71% of our people. It's just not a workable solution. This is a train wreck waiting to happen. I just don't know where the money's going to come from. As you know, I formerly sat on the Appropriations Committee, and you know, they can say all they want. Well, the federal government will pay for this, the federal government will pay for that. The last time I checked, the people in my district pay more money in federal taxes than they do in state taxes. So that just tells me that the people in my district are going to have to belly up, buck up, pay more, and get less. And it is completely untenable when we have to add virtually the entire population of within the city limits core of the city of Kansas City. We would have to take that number of people basically and add them all to our welfare rolls if this train wreck isn't stopped.
You know, Senator, I think it's interesting when we talk about jobs to go to those who know it best. Last year, the Missouri Chamber of Commerce surveyed their members, and they have 400 of their businesses of all sizes around the state, which together provide 65,000 jobs for Missourians among those companies. And in their survey, they found that 67% of their Missouri business members expect to be negatively impacted by Obamacare. They also found out that more than two-thirds of all private health care of citizens under 65 years of age are currently provided by employers. And so they felt, and they gave this to us because they felt like it was very, very important for us to consider those who provide the jobs and how the federal law is going to impact them negatively, and the jobs are going to go down. And I guess I reiterate with this specific survey the importance of us doing what we're doing today. Our citizens have spoken, and they said they want the right to make their own decisions. They don't want the federal government to tell them, you will buy something against their will. That is just inherently wrong, as I used the term last year, foreign. And I guess I want to, again, as we're all stating here, call on our Attorney General to defend the citizens of Missouri as they have spoken. And if we are able to get this resolution through today in the Senate, just as they've done in the House, that he not only honor our citizens, but he honor their elected representatives.
Well, and I agree with you, Senator. And the only reason that I'm the least little bit torn on this is because I'm an attorney myself. If my heart isn't in representing a person, I question whether or not I ought to be in the position of representing a person. However, he took an oath of office to say that he would do it. So, I don't know, maybe if he's disagreeing with 71% of the people right now, maybe in 2012, 71% of the people will disagree with him. But that may be the ultimate solution here. But the fact of the matter is, I know, having served with our Attorney General, that he is a very talented person. But all the talent in the world cannot make up for the inability to make a proper decision. And if you can't support the will of the people that you're sworn to protect, our laws, then why are you there? So, I'm hoping that those talents will be used appropriately. But, Senator, the jobs in the state of Missouri, you know, yesterday I was at a very joyous occasion in my district because a memorandum of understanding was signed between the Department of Economic Development and Ford Motor Company. But we all know from the debate and from our special session that those types of laws and those types of measures are stopgap measures. We can't keep going down the road of giving a benefit over here for this group, a benefit over here for that group. I honestly feel kind of sorry for our Director of Economic Development, regardless of who may fill those shoes, because what do we have to offer in Missouri? We can't even manage to join in a lawsuit for something that's going to break our state. We have to have a balanced budget amendment, so we're not going to drive ourselves into a bunch of debt. Name a tax in Missouri that we don't already have. We have sales taxes, real property taxes, business property taxes, personal property taxes, income taxes, sales taxes. There just isn't anything that we don't have. And then add a regulation. I can't really think of most regulations that we don't have here in Missouri, and we try and try and try to take burdens off the back, particularly of our small business owners that constitute 95% of our jobs in Missouri. And it seems like as fast as we take regulations off, the senator from Howell passed the Government Get Off My Back Act, and at least we got a moratorium on new regulations for a while. But, you know, stopping the bleeding is one thing, but actually trying to mend the wound is something else. So if we don't do something, if Congress doesn't act, if we don't get this thing repealed so that we can turn around and have market-based solutions, then I see our unemployment rate continuing to get higher, more and more businesses not being able to afford insurance, businesses maybe not being able to stay in business. Senator, also I'm concerned because the direct language from the bill says that the secretary may conduct comparative effectiveness research. You know what? When I go buy a car, I conduct my own comparative effectiveness research. And up to this point, I think we've been able to do a pretty good job with regard to that. I don't know what happened to the free market system, but all of a sudden this unelected bureaucrat, the secretary, gets to do almost 2,000 new things, new powers, and takes all that power away from the free market system and away from individuals and plops it down in the lap of an unelected appointed bureaucrat. So, Senator, I don't see a happy outcome for this at all unless we join actively in the lawsuit, give effect to the voice of 71% of Missourians, and do everything that we can to get rid of this abomination to our health care system.
Well, I thank you, Senator, and I know our constituents want a voice. They made that very clear, and they want that voice defended. So I think what we're doing today will please them. One other thing I just want to mention that I do oftentimes when I'm in a situation like this, for those watching in the gallery, I'm not being rude to the senator behind me. It looks like I am. We have a rule that we always have to face the chair. And if I don't do that, the president will gavel me down. So this is not rude. This is rules.
Senator, I wouldn't want you violating the Senate rules. And about the best you can do is just turn a little bit sideways.
That's a little bit hard.
Yeah, that's a little bit hard.
All right.
So, Senator, I understand and I appreciate it. And I thank you for bringing this forward. I thank you for the work that you did to get the original proposition on the ballot. You and the senator from the first worked diligently so that the people actually had a voice in this. They've spoken loudly. Now we just need somebody with the backbone to enforce the will of 71% of the people.
That's absolutely right. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion? Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, to speak against the resolution.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I will be brief because I'm starting to feel like a broken record. For 4 years now, I've stood here on the Senate floor and said, we need to talk about jobs, we need to talk about jobs, we need to talk about jobs. Today, we are talking about yet another non-binding resolution that does absolutely nothing. All this does is send a message to an independent branch of government telling them how they should do their job. Whether or not the Attorney General gets involved in this case is up to him. It's not up to us as a legislature. A couple of things I want to say about him getting involved in this, though. Number one, there are already 25 states involved in this. Whether Missouri gets involved in it or not, the result of the litigation will be binding on the state of Missouri. So, for instance, if they decide that the federal mandate is unconstitutional, then Missouri's law that we passed in August of last year will stand. If they decide in that lawsuit that the federal mandate is constitutional, then Missouri's law will be trumped. It doesn't matter whether we're involved in this suit or not. We already have, you know, I heard from the sponsor that Missouri is not being defended in this suit. That couldn't be further from the truth. There are 25 attorneys general in this state that are right now acting on this suit. They're already providing the legal services for this litigation. It makes absolutely no sense for us to get involved. All it does is add potential cost. I heard in the hearing yesterday that there was no cost associated with the state of Missouri getting involved in this litigation. That cannot possibly be true. Even if all we're doing is monitoring the pleadings and watching and waiting, there is still staff time that's involved in it, and there is still expense. I would argue that it's actually going to be much more expensive, that we're going to have to assign staff members to review pleadings, to attend depositions, to do everything that you do to work up a case for trial. There is absolutely no sense in us as a state using taxpayer time and taxpayer money to join a lawsuit that we absolutely will have no effect over. It's going to be won or lost, and it will apply to Missouri. And I say that instead of these non-binding resolutions that we spend most of our early time on, we should start talking about jobs again, because we haven't had any significant, other than our special session last year, we haven't had any significant discussion of economic development in this chamber for the last 4 years. And you know what? If you tell me we can't have any significant discussion because we need to get through the tax credit discussion first, then by golly, let's start talking about tax credits. You know, the senator from Cape made it tax credit reform today. He filed I don't know how many bills relating to tax credit reform. Get those through the committees. Get them out on the floor. Let's hash out tax credit reform so that we can start talking about economic development and putting Missourians back to work. That is a responsible use of taxpayer dollars, and I hope that's the way that this Senate goes. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the senator from the 7th?
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
Certainly.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, you've put me in an interesting spot here. I honestly had not intended to participate in the debate this morning, but I noticed on my schedule that I actually have lunch with our Attorney General in about 1 hour.
Good. You just got your marching orders.
Well, the strange thing is I began to think about that a little bit, and I realized that the last time that I had lunch with our Attorney General, it was when he was a member of this body. He held a leadership post in this body. At that point, at that particular time, I was the House Majority Whip, and we would have joint Senate-House leadership. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because at that time he was a member of this body and he was a Republican. And so I've not visited with him since then, and I'm going to be having lunch with him this afternoon. I'm not making this up. This is too good to make up. Okay. So 1 hour from now, I'm going to be sitting with the Attorney General. And obviously, I don't think there's any way that he and I are going to be able to have lunch together and not talk about what happened in this chamber this morning.
I would think that would be difficult.
You've got a little more experience in this body than I do. You know, we're not telling him what he has to do, are we? I just want to make sure. We're not saying, Attorney General Chris Koster, you must do this, are we?
No, we are just urging him on behalf of the people to do exactly what his responsibility is and what many attorney generals around the country are doing.
So if I was to really want to have a nice cordial lunch with the attorney general, as I hope to do in 1 hour from now, and when, not if, this subject comes up, can you give me some sage wisdom, maybe some things that I could say that would allow us to have an enjoyable lunch but still get our point across?
I have been told by the Attorney General that he will defend our statute. We passed a statute last year, and he will defend it because that's his responsibility. That's what he ran for office to do. We touched on that with the senator from the 17th. And so I think I would just urge him. The people have clearly spoken. 71% is the highest vote in the entire nation on this issue. We have the highest vote in the entire nation by our state. And so I would remind him of that, which I'm sure he recognizes, and that the House has spoken, the Senate has spoken, hopefully, we'll see what happens, but that no other legislature has had to take this extreme action to urge something that seems so evident and that should be done. And I would just urge him to do that. Stand up for us. I think, too, to piggyback on the senator who spoke right before this, does it matter? Yes, it matters, because if he misses the deadline, which could be any moment in this federal lawsuit of being able to get in as a plaintiff, if he misses it, his only opportunity is an amicus brief. That just says, okay, I'm going to write a term paper and throw it into your thing. It doesn't get named officially. But if we get in, or our attorney general gets in as a plaintiff, it gives him a seat at the table. He can change things. He has the ability to really have his input in there, which is our input, which is our citizens' input. Additionally, if he gets in, it could make a difference in the outcome of this lawsuit. So is it important? Does it matter? You bet your boots it matters. And so I would remind him of that.
Well, and I'll tell you, I really do. I remember when he was a Republican and when he was a member of this body, the Senate. You know, I remember getting to know him a little bit back in those days, and I have every reason to believe that he is a very, very capable attorney general. And I would have to disagree with our colleague that spoke earlier as well, because I think it really will make a difference, because he is a good attorney general. He's a very, very sharp. There's no question about whether or not Attorney General Chris Koster is a sharp man. I mean, he's intelligent. He's smart. He's a good attorney general. It befuddles me when I see what's happening here, and I see that thus far he has decided not to represent the state of Missouri in this lawsuit. Has anybody, and I haven't been as intimately involved in this as you have, has anybody actually just asked him?
Oh,
hey,
yes.
Many Attorney people, General Koster, will you please do this? Has anybody asked him to do it?
Yes, many people have asked him. I know specifically that our lieutenant governor, who has filed his own lawsuit, has asked. Numerous people and organizations around the state have asked. And you mentioned, too, this is sidestepping a little bit, that you haven't been as intimately involved in this as I have. But, Senator, I just want to thank you, because we had what we called a quartet that kind of sang this music around the
healthcare
state,
freedom
and you were part
quartet.
Of that quartet from the House at that time.
But I did not sing.
You did not sing. Well,
in
a way, it was a song, and along with the now floor leader over in the House. And so I want to thank you in public right now for the work you did, especially with the citizens' uprising that wanted their voice heard. You were very instrumental in that. The other thing to point out, as you started out with the Attorney General when you have lunch with him today, and I'm very grateful that that coincidence of time came about.
I'm not sure that I'm grateful for that. But
well, we are, and so you're going to be our voice.
Yeah,
the
I'm
other
sure
thing
I'm...
that was mentioned by the senator previously about the cost. Typically, when we get fiscal notes on things, our fiscal note oversight people go to the source of the people who know what it's going to cost and ask them what the fiscal note is. And the Attorney General himself told me the cost of this would be zero. Zero fiscal note. I think it's a consent resolution, don't you?
Well, I do. I do. And I tell you, I wanted to make sure before I went to have lunch with our Attorney General, you know, it's going to be an interesting lunch. We haven't seen each other since he was a Republican and since he was a member of this body, and so I think it's going to be an enjoyable lunch. I just didn't want to get caught in a situation where, you know, all of a sudden he would say, hey, Senator, really nobody asked me to take part in this lawsuit. Why are you guys passing resolutions, you know, to kind of force my hand? When so we know that he has been asked.
Yes.
And thus far has decided not to.
That's right.
And we believe, I think you would join me in the belief that we've got a pretty good, you know, he's a pretty capable attorney. He's pretty good in the area of shaping public opinion and getting things to go his way. So why wouldn't we want him to be involved in this? I don't want to rely on the other 25, and I would send that message to my colleague. I don't want to rely on the other 25. I want my Attorney General involved in this, and I think that's all we're asking for, am I right?
Yes, it is. We want a place at that table so that he can speak up if he wants to and defend how Missourians feel.
Well, Senator, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing on this, and thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, the Senator from the 7th is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The Senator from the 7th moves the adoption of Senate Resolution 27. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Resolution number 27. Senator from the 23rd. Would Sergeant of Arms please find the Senator from the 23rd? Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next order of business will be announcements.
Announcements? Senator from the 23rd, proceed.
Mr. President, the announcement I'll be making is that we'll be standing in recess until 6:30, and at which time we will assemble or repair to the House for the State of the State address.
Further announcement.
Let me go ahead and move that motion, Mr. President. I will formally move that the Senate stand in recess until 6:30 p.m., at which time we will assembly to repair to the House for the State of the State address.
Senator from the 23rd, would you care to have the escort committee names be read?
Please.
Madam Secretary, please read the names of the escort committee.
Escort Committee for the State of the State, Senators Mayer, Dempsey, Root, Pergeson, Stouffer, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Justice, Green, and Wright-Jones.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Before we put the motion up for vote, are there further announcements that need to be made? Senator from Stoddard. For announcements.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to remind members of the body that shortly after adjournment, we will have a presentation dealing with the findings of the working groups on rebooting Missouri state government, and encourage them to attend that presentation. It will be in hearing room one, and so that should take place here in the next 30 minutes. So just like to remind members of the body to attend that. Thank you.
Further announcements. Senator from the 11th.
May I briefly inquire of the Senator from Stoddard?
Does the Senator yield? He does. Proceed.
Senator, we had a discussion earlier on the floor on the resolution. I was just curious, on your announcement on rebooting, it was originally set for 11. Did you say we're going to meet, 11:30 now?
Yes, I thought we would give the members an opportunity to go back to their offices maybe and deal with some matters.
That's fine.
And if they need to eat or get something to drink.
So everybody knows it's not 11 anymore, it's 11:30.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, all right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Further announcements. Further announcements. Senator from the 23rd, would you care to restate your motion on the recess, if you would, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The motion was that the Senate stand in recess until 6:30 p.m., at which time we will assembly to repair to the House for the State of the State address.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are in recess till 6:30 p.m. this day.